This is a podcast that has offensive language and spoilers and a handy index in the show notes so that you can skip to irrelevant areas you may enjoy as we talk about shit. And maybe you don't like all the shit we talk about. Maybe you want to hear us talk about insert name of topic here that we talk about at insert timestamp here. This is Two Fat Guys Talk. I am Carlitos Jalapeno Rodriguez, and I'm joined as always by my compatriot Devaniel Day-Lewis. Say hello to the people, Devaniel.
Hello.
All right. This is a sleepy podcast where we talk in a daze and just kind of meander about everything. So,
this is episode 81.
What should we call this episode?
Episode 81.
Okay.
We got nothing.
We got nothing. So I put out a call for voicemail, and we received...
The day before.
Dave, would you bring up the voicemail lines and tell us how many voicemails we got on the docket?
Beep. Beep.
So, how many voicemails we got on the line?
Zero.
The fuck?
Hey, when you put up the day before the request, what do you expect?
I thought we had fans.
For this?
What are we even doing then?
No, we have a few. They just didn't give us voicemail this time. Oh, well.
What am I doing with my life?
Well.
What are we even talking about
today? I'm giving you purpose, so that's all
good. Yeah, that's right. What are we even talking about today?
Well, as per our title, we got nothing.
I sent you a text, right? What was it again? R-rated movies and how Deadpool has seemingly opened the floodgates for them. And the trailer for the new Ghostbusters,
which we watched a video.
Well, we should mention that we watched the trailer. And the one piece of feedback we did get is a fellow by the name of...
Izzy Nobre.
He responded to my tweet about our topics, and he's like, this is my response to it, what do you think? And I'll link the video in the show notes, and he makes some good points about the trailer. But before we talk about his, Dave, what did you think of the new Ghostbusters trailer?
Meh? I giggled a couple times, but if this was their A game, oh boy, this movie's in trouble. And I got no problem. Let's just put it right out there now. I have no problem that it stars four women as the main characters. I got no issue with that. In fact, the individual actresses that are doing those roles are actually quite funny in other roles they've done. So this trailer was just kind of... If this was meant to get me interested, it... almost failed.
I think I like the trailer a little bit better than you. I did actually find it quite funny and quite charming. I thought that the jokes were on point. It's just sometimes they went a little overboard with them, like when she's slapping her friend to get the ghost out, and then she goes for another slap. She brutally announces that she's going to go for a second slap, and I'm just like, it would have been a lot funnier if she just kept slapping.
Yeah.
I didn't need that joke explained to me, because it's a simple gag, right?
That was a giggle I gave, as well as the wig comment I giggled.
It got everywhere. It got everywhere. The ghost vomit.
Yes. But I think it looks good.
And by
that I mean, I thought that they were going to CG the fuck up this movie, and kind of lose the style that the original Ghosts had in Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
They had a stylistic feel that you could actually see something like that popping up, like the original ghost in the library from Ghostbusters 1. That was a neat looking ghost, both how it was before it freaked out, and then after. It was neat. So I was worried they were going to choose a style that was very much too realistic.
I do enjoy some cheeseball lines, like, no one's better at particle physics than you, or whatever the line was, like the obvious, you are the designated science person, no one is better at the science than you are. But like, that shit's hilarious.
But the ghosts looked neat. Mm-hmm. The librarian ghost was cool in how it did that stuff there. So what I think they should have taken out of the trailer was the whole reminding us that there was a Ghostbusters 1 and 2. If you want this movie to stand on its own, don't do the whole flashbacks to how things were. Go with your own shit. We're not getting the firehouse this time. So don't show us the picture of the firehouse. Don't remind us that this should have been part 3 kind of thing. Just do your own thing. Did love the new Ghostbusters tune.
Yeah, I enjoyed the new take on the Ghostbusters tune. I see your point, definitely. This should stand on its own. Especially in light of dudes being so angry about this movie. It should definitely stand on its own and be and strive to be superior to its source material.
Let's just say fuck those guys.
Well, it needs to be said, that trailer on YouTube, last I checked, is mostly thumbs down. And the negative comments are being deleted by the uploader, which I completely agree with. And they are a cesspool of men being garbage.
No big surprise.
They are beyond sexist, beyond misogynistic. They are gross.
Hey, just remember that this is, and in quotes, ruining their childhood.
Yep, because
you know, nothing can be rebooted or new.
Or star women.
Star women.
This is how ingrained patriarchy is in our stupid shithead society. It's so ingrained that the moment something that starred dudes now stars women, dude bros are angry. There is no reason to be angry. There is no reason to be upset. There is every reason why movies should strive to have more non-male, non-white, non-heterosexual, non-standard, normal, default anything. Because representation matters. And the fact that people are angry and saying it's too political correct for me is, it makes me mad. Like if it wasn't, like if men weren't already okay with being the worst gender, now we have the reactions to this garbage just reinforcing it. Like some of the highest rated comments when I was looking was some dude doing a Ghostbusters rhyme about women going back into the kitchen with huge thumbs up and people adding to it. And I'm reminded, yeah, I remember a time when I thought men were funny. I'm like, why did I ever think that?
Because they still can be.
No shit, thank you. But I mean, the point is, like, it's beyond vile, the reaction to this movie.
That's why I didn't even bother looking at the comments.
You were wise to, because they were a cesspool. They made me physically angry to just look at, because this is how trashy men are. As to Izzy Nobre's response, I thought it was a fair comment. It was, he was commenting, first of all, he made it clear that he himself has no issue with there being 4 women, and that he thinks people upset about that are just gross and weird. And I agree with that totally. He did say that he never liked the idea of wanting your demographic represented. Like, he used his own example of him being a Latino not being represented, and I wildly disagree with that because, no, it's very easy for white people to say that white people, that representation doesn't matter when they're the default and they're the most represented. So yeah, we do need minority representation. I also don't tend to agree with his whole idea of objectively assessing it because it's subjective, it's bias, it's film. It's not objectively assessing anything. I never liked the whole neutral response of just going, oh, this kind of shit doesn't matter to me, because it should. We should actually actively want more underrepresented demographics to be represented. However, his response was generally, I have no issue with the fact that there are 4 women there, and the trailer still kind of underwhelmed me a bit. And that's fine. You're allowed to be underwhelmed by the trailer.
And just by how political this one is.
He also talked about how you can't really hate the trailer because you'll get branded as a misogynist. And here's the thing. Yes and no. And I know I have to do a little bit better. When I see someone hating on this trailer, I'm immediately assuming they're some piece of shit misogynist, right? And that's wrong of me. People are allowed to look at that trailer and go, this fucking sucks. And that doesn't necessarily mean they thought it sucked because there were four women. They might have just thought it wasn't funny. Like, they might have just thought, oh, this is...
Me?
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So, I mean, that's something I got to do a little bit better with in myself, because I tend to go fly off the handle because of the rampant fucking sexism that exists in every aspect of our society, and in Hollywood especially, Oscars. But, I mean, still, the trailer, there was nothing really wrong with the trailer. If there were four dudes in that trailer, and it was pretty much exactly the same, there would not have been nearly as big an outcry. And nope. We all know that. But otherwise, yeah, I'll go watch it.
The one scene we got of Chris Hemsworth?
Mm-hmm.
With him kicking in the door was kind of interesting. I like the fact that he's playing the secretary.
No, that's fine with me.
I like that we have Slimer in there.
Slimer's in there.
That's good. The fact they made all their equipment from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But as a first trailer, kind of underwhelmed.
I'm okay with it. I mean, especially since, you know, last year's best movie was what? Mad Max Fury Road, by and far, easily. And that the trailers for that weren't terribly great either.
I think you're forgetting a certain Episode 7.
Episode 7 was not better than Fury Road. I like The Force Awakens. I love The Force Awakens. It was not better than Fury Road. I'll call it the second best movie of the year, easily, but I won't say it comes close to Fury Road. Fury Road is like the perfect movie. Like, just about. Like, in my mind, it's like, what's the best movie ever made? Children of Men or Mad Max Fury Road? I'm not even kidding. And I am a total mark for Children of Men. I almost called it Fury of Men.
Yeah, no, the Ghostbusters trailer, I'm hoping, much like Batman v Superman,
mm-hmm.
that I will see a second or a third trailer and it will just wow me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping, because just like with Batman v Superman, the first couple few trailers, I was totally not seeing that movie.
Speaking of Dawn of Justice,
oh god,
we're right there, aren't we?
24th or 25th.
So we're going to go watch it, right?
We're going to see it, yes.
Okay. So, Batman v Superman. Will it be as disappointing as Man of Steel? Will it impress? Will it be middle of the road? These are all unfair questions.
I'm setting my expectations around middle of the road.
Yeah, that's probably a good bet. I did hear that Ben Affleck apparently rewrote that whole script.
Not the whole script. Let's not exaggerate this. He rewrote key scenes while on the set in the suit because it wasn't working. Now, in the past, I would say, oh, God, no. But he's shown he can write.
Oh, yeah.
He's shown that he's now grown into being an actual actor.
He's shown this for years.
Eh.
Bad roles aside, it's like,
yeah.
Do we judge Gerard Butler on his shitty movies? Like we shouldn't be too harsh on Leonidas. He's a great actor, even if he picks terrible movies to be in.
I don't think 300 is a bad movie.
The original 300? Well, that was a terrible movie. Very pretty.
It was a middle-of-the-road movie.
Yeah, it was negative 300 in my scale.
But Batman v Superman actually brings us into rated R movie roads.
Yeah. So Deadpool is a rated R movie that did well, and now, like, the day after, now the next Wolverine is going to be rated R, and now there's a ton of movies that were going to be rated PG that are now eyeing R ratings, because Deadpool came out and showed the world, hey, if you make a good R-rated movie, it'll actually do well.
But here's the problem that Hollywood is going to mess.
Mm-hmm. Because Hollywood sucks.
It was a good, well-written, rated R movie.
That's right.
It wasn't just the fact that it was rated R that made it successful.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, Wolverine doesn't need to be rated R.
I disagree. Wolverine-only stories probably should be, considering the nature of his weaponry and his own viciousness using it. Plus the fact that he can heal from anything. Like, the Wolverine was already pretty gruesome as a PG-13.
And that's my point. is what they did with the Wolverine is good enough. I mean, if we were starting a brand new Wolverine series with a new actor, I'd say go for it. You could change the character to be a little bit more like he was in the comics, be a little bit more crude, be a little bit more violent. But the Wolverine that we've had through, what, 6 movies now, plus, has not been comic Wolverine in that way. So you don't need, at this juncture, a rated R Wolverine.
As someone who believes you don't need fatalities in Mortal Kombat, I tend to agree with you. That said, as much as I think some of the best entertainment on television today is so-called all ages children's fare, I like all ages better than children's fare, like Steven Universe, for instance. The fact is, I do like my R-rated stuff, too.
Yeah.
I do get giddy at mindless wanton violence sometimes. And Deadpool slots into X-Men canon, kind of. So, I mean...
Well, you can be sure that they'll slot him in.
Right.
Now.
So, I mean, the idea that we can do R-rated movies and kind of indulge a little bit in our wanton bloodiness and swearing and whatnot and sexual humor, I'm okay with this. I think this is a good sign. I think what Deadpool did is pretty groundbreaking. It's not the best movie ever, don't get me wrong, but I mean, the fact that as an R-rated film it did so well and was so well received, I think that's generally a positive. I don't like this idea. First of all, I don't like the idea that R-rated should mean you have to be 18. Look, who decided this arbitrary age that kids were suddenly adult enough to get R-rated movies? You know, that age should probably be brought down a bit. But I mean, that doesn't mean parents should be taking their little kids to go see Deadpool. That's the other extreme. I heard about that.
Or sensitive little flowers.
Well, some people can get triggered by the violence, and I mean, that's totally valid.
Well, I happen to know a couple people who went and saw Deadpool and still stayed for the whole movie, but much like us watching a very bad movie, wanted to walk out and was just totally disturbed by this Marvel movie, which it isn't.
Which it is, actually.
It's not part of the Marvel cinematic.
That is a very different thing than not being a Marvel movie.
I know it's a Marvel character, but they were saying that Disney's Marvel had, you know, betrayed them with this movie. Kind of nonsense.
The R rating was all over the place,
and that's just it. That's the one piece of ownership they took, in that they didn't research the movie well enough. They just thought it was one of the Marvel Disney ones, and all good.
Disney's made some pretty raunchy movies.
Granted, but again, sensitive flowers. That didn't like the swearing, didn't like the sex. Basically wanted that whole PG version of Deadpool kind of thing.
A PG version of Deadpool is rated R, because that's just wrong. But I mean, the thing is, yeah, people can get triggered by that, too. We shouldn't be laughing at people who are disturbed by the content of that movie, though. That's wrong, too. I think that, you know, the market is there for, there are movies that can be rated R and awesome, and there are movies that don't have to be and can also be awesome. And there should be enough entertainment for everyone, I think, you know? Like
I think it's a gimmick that DC's pulling. That one of the home releases of Batman v Superman will be a rated R version. To do that at this point is just like, what?
Yeah, that is a bit gimmicky. They should just have released it in the theaters and shown some fucking balls. But screw that. I'm not going to say show some balls anymore, because men are garbage. Show some fucking, what's a good alternative? Gusto? Let's say gusto. No, shake your head all you want. I'm not taking any of that back.
Sure.
Continue.
Speaking of sucking. but yeah, no, it's... The thing I don't want to see is that all of a sudden they're adding R-rated stuff to movies just because they think it's going to do better.
Well, that's the wrong reaction, as you pointed out earlier. That is the wrong way to react to Deadpool. Go, oh, it did well and it's R-rated? Let's add a clitoral stimulation scene. Actually, I wouldn't mind some clitoral stimulation in our mainstream movies.
But Deadpool succeeded because it was well thought out and mm-hmm. well written.
Mm-hmm. And people buying it were passionate. And Ryan Reynolds was passionate. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was flawed, but good. And...
You know, I've come to hate that word.
Flawed?
Flawed.
Is it because I use it?
You and somebody else I know.
What word would you prefer I use?
Well, I'd prefer you just shut up.
But... Okay, so it was flawed. But it was good. And I mean... Yeah, man, filmmakers, people can be mature enough to handle this, and maybe we should, yeah, I'm all for trigger warnings, and I'm all for not exposing people to what they don't want to be exposed to, but at the same time, I'm also for exposing people to what they want to be and consent to be exposed to, so, maybe Deadpool can further this conversation and further our society as a whole, funny enough.
Definitely open the door. But, then again... Again, DC's reaction to it is exactly what I don't want to see.
I mean, you can have an R-rated cut in a home release. This has been done before. Like, they're not setting a precedent for this.
They're not, but the timing is just so... Oh, wait, this works? Okay, drop your pants. Kind of...
Where did that metaphor come from?
Well, it...
Are you telling me you want me to strip?
No, I don't. No, their whole reaction was right after Deadpool succeeded, and it's like, oh, we're going to have a rated R version. It's just like, wait, it comes out in literally 3 weeks, a month after Deadpool came out. And you're saying you're going to have a rated R version now? So are you going back and reshooting scenes, or...
There are probably things they cut out of the theatrical release that they're just going to put back.
I hope it turns out that's what it is. Because if they're going to actually do extra work... Well, if they want to do extra work, I guess that's not so bad, but...
I don't like this idea of always adding extended cuts. I mean, yeah, sometimes you get a better film out of the extended cut, but not always. The theatrical release of Donnie Darko is a great film. The extended cut of Donnie Darko is not...
As I said, X-Men 1.
X-Men 1?
X-Men 1's extended cut was jarring.
There's something about Mary. So many extraneous scenes that didn't need to be in the final film.
Didn't see the extended cut.
There was no extended cut of the movie in Unbreakable, but M. Night Shyamalan did have a special on it where he talked about various deleted scenes that he didn't put in, and he talked about why he didn't put them in, and he was smart too because they all sucked. And I'm like, again, what happened to M. Night? He wasn't talking about someone else taking them out. He was talking about legit self-judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, no, extended cuts work in things like The Hobbit. No, not The Hobbit. Lord of the Rings. Where literally you can't have a 4-hour movie in theaters.
You want to hear a confession?
You hated the Lord of the Rings, I know.
I didn't hate the Lord of the Rings. In fact, I liked the first movie. I thought it was a good cut. I hate the books, and I hate the Hobbit books. And
you
I
mean
hate
the Hobbit book.
Whatever. And I hate every single one of those movies except the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring theatrical version. Because it was well cut and well structured, and you don't need 4 fucking hours to tell a story. You don't. There's no longer an excuse. I'll bust this in 2 words. Steven motherfucking Universe. 2 words.
I guess it would be better to say that I felt that the theatrical cuts could have had other areas cut, and some of the deleted scenes put in their place to make a stronger movie. Because there were things that they left in the cutting room floor that made an extended cut that they referenced in the next freaking movie. It's stuff like that that bugged me. It's like, oh, I'm watching the extended cut. Oh, so they did actually have the... And I'm watching at that time with family. It's like, oh, so that's where that came from. Like, yeah, that's where that came from. It's like, oh, they've got magic rope, and these daggers all of a sudden they're being tracked with. And, oh, so-and-so has this. Where did all this stuff come from? Oh, they cut it. If you're going to do a proper cut, you need to make sure that you are going to reference important things like that.
So I got a question for you.
Okay.
Since we're so light on content in this particular podcast, really, we just needed to do one so that the podcast networks we all subscribe to, including Google Podcasts, which you can now find our podcast on.
Oh, good.
We should do an episode, and I really wish I had theme music for this, of how two fat guys would do it.
God.
And the topic is, Dave, you have been tasked with writing a theatrical sequel to Return of the King. Go. I'll start. Okay.
You suck.
So, as we know, Frodo and Gandalf went off on some kind of sex journey off to some island, right? To go see the world. It's not a sex journey. I'm sorry I said that. That was really gross of me. Not that it would have been gross if... You know what? I'll shut up.
Just shut up.
So...
You're not shutting up.
So here's what I'm thinking. You're
still breathing.
Here's what I'm thinking about the sequel, okay? Oh, okay. God. So, you're gonna say it's Cadmus, but it's totally Cadmus.
Okay. Just... Stop.
Fine, what would you do?
Well, number one, I'm not adding Cadmus.
It's not going to be called Cadmus.
It doesn't matter.
There is a character named Amanda Waller, completely unrelated. Fat black woman who runs Cadmus in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Pretty much, I think the only thing that you can do to make an interesting kind of sequel to Lord of the Rings, even though... It would piss off so many people who love Tolkien's work. And I'm okay with this. I think you jump way into the future.
Steampunk?
You could go steampunk, or you could actually go modern day.
Cyberpunk?
If
you want to do some Planescape Torment shit with Lord of the Rings? Cause I'm game.
I don't see why not. Simply because they're gonna live forever. On that island. They don't age. They're going there to pass the rest of eternity and leave the mortal races to basically rule the earth. And they've already... Tolkien kind of alludes to the end of... in the books, at least. That hobbits will cease to exist eventually because they will be just basically meld in with humans. And that they already are. Like,
they're pretty much already humans.
They're already humans, but the difference between humans and hobbits will cease to be, because even Merry and Pippin were already taller than your average hobbit. They're basically becoming humans in their size and everything. So eventually there'll be no difference. The dwarves, they mentioned, will basically disappear into their mountains and will basically cease to be after a while. Basically saying they're going to end up wiping themselves out. Because the dwarves are pretty fucking stupid.
I wouldn't want that, though. If we're going to do a kind of thousand years later steampunk Middle Earth, let's have dwarves and hobbits around with engineering goggles and fucking running trains and fucking doing steam related stuff like Steam Boy.
If I was going to jump like that and have the elves make another journey back to the mortal realms, maybe because another one of their dumbass gods are pulling another Sauron, kind of thing. I'd jump a couple thousand years, kind of thing. You can have your dwarves, you can have your humans. The hobbits, I think, would basically cease to exist.
I think that would be a huge mistake. If you do a cinematic sequel to Return of the King, it's thousands of years later, and it's a steampunk environment, but you're taking away one of the most iconic races from this land, that is a blunder. Because you get to see these races in a completely new and believable setting. I think this is... I think you got to keep the hobbits and the dwarves and the elves. I think you got to show...
That would be part of it, though. The elves wouldn't be there.
Sure they would. You could have elvish society that has integrated with modern, with the industrial age, and show us a cool, believable version of steam elves, steam elvish society, industrial age elvish society. Okay, that would be super awesome.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you're going to do it based off of Return of the King, the elves are coming back. End of Return of the King. Within 20 years of the end of that book, end of the movie, the elves are no more in Middle-earth.
Nah, screw that. They've
all left.
Retcon it. What? Why stick to the lore? Why bother? The film doesn't say that. The film might speculate at it.
Well, no, actually, the film outright says that the elves are leaving Middle-earth.
Oh, whoop-de-doo, they changed their mind. Some opted to stay. Bam, you got your setup. Why be bound by the rules of old? You know what Star Wars did? They're like, fuck the extended universe, we're making a new one.
Well, there are more reasons for that.
I say just fuck it. Just go, not actually, some of them stayed. We still got elves. We got steam elves. We got steam dwarves, steam people, steam hobbits. Like, a dwarf with a steam axe, one of Gimli's descendants, also played by the same guy, using some kind of auto axe. Oh my god! What if the Dark God, who is the big threat now, has integrated into their society? What if this god is one of the presidents of their various industrial companies? What if that's the menace? They're making some kind of clockwork ogre army. Oh my god, Dave, this is a great idea you had. This is good. We should contact whoever owns the rights.
And yet, every word you speak, I'm just like, no, no, no.
No, no, you're totally into it. You're totally into it. So, Dave, what you guys should do is you should go support Dave's Kickstarter for making Steampunk Lord of the Rings 4.
See,
I'm
not... No. What I'd want to do is say fuck Lord of the Rings, and I'd do a Pathfinder movie.
Nobody knows what Pathfinder is, so let's do your steampunk Lord of the Rings movie. And what stars could we have in? We could have Daniel DeVito playing an older dwarf.
Just had to go there, didn't you?
Pathfinder's so close to Dungeons & Dragons, though.
Okay, so we call it Dungeons & fucking Dragons.
When we were playing our Pathfinder campaign, I'm like, oh, so this is just Dungeons & Dragons, but for people who didn't like Dungeons & Dragons, they still have the terrible spell names, Cure Moderate Wounds. What kind of spell name is that?
Different levels of healing.
The worst spell name.
Cure Aga?
That's better. That at least sounds mystical. Fuck. Even the WoW version of that, calling it like Flourish or some shit. That has air.
Well, there's lots of hot air happening.
Yeah, lots of hot air happening in here. So I like your steampunk Lord of the Rings idea. I definitely think you should kickstart it, or an Indiegogo perhaps.
No.
Folks, then
it dies here.
Postmark your checks to Devaniel Day Lewis, care of Two Fat Guys Talk, 6223
Just stop.
Baptist Road.
Just stop.
In Tallahassee, Florida. Oh god, I hope that's not a real address.
So well, it probably that? Is.
Poor guy's getting checks?
Anyway.
Check the voicemail lines. Let's see if we got some voicemail that's come in since we've been recording.
We don't. Oh, look at that. Nothing.
I am very disappointed in every single one of you listening right now. Well, this sucked. Folks, if you want to hear more podcasts, go to twofatguystalk.com. Do we have any final thoughts? Sign off? We should sign off with something so people don't think this was a total bust. I could make orgasmic noises for the next 5 minutes.